Welcome back to Pop Culture Failure, where we watch a thing from our youth and see how it stands up. I'm Sky.
I'm Jake.
And we are watching Animorph still.
We are. Episode 4, On the Run.
Did anything of consequence happen?
More than the last time, I think. This one was better than the last episode.
Well, like, the last one they went to the Yerk Pool. This one they just kind of dicked around the whole time.
Yeah, but they dicked around in the Yerk Pool. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, but it moved the plot forward.
Did it?
It established that the Yerks needed the Yerk Pool and that it exists.
Yeah, that's about it. This one doesn't move the plot forward, but it doesn't move the plot backwards. They just have a little romp.
We learn a little bit about the sharing.
Yeah, and we learn what fun it is at the mall. And yet again, Cassie doesn't morph anything.
We have seen her morph.
Yeah, she was a horse.
Okay. Well, we don't see any morphing in this either. We get cutaways, and then they're just an animal.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
It's apparently much cheaper. I suppose we just start this.
The episode?
Yeah.
Of Animorphs on the Run?
So we open up, and Marco's typing on a computer, and they're in the cyber cafe arcade.
Marco's not just tapping on a computer. He is looking up new wheels for his rollerblades.
What a very 1990s sentence to say.
Yep.
And Jake joins him, and Jake has the dog again. Dog making a fourth appearance.
At the mall.
Maybe things were different back then. You could just have dogs.
You could have malls.
Yeah, but Marco, he's trying to have a yerk-free day. This is apparently the day after the Yerk Pool.
Yeah.
Fiasco. And Jake and Marco have an argument about wheels, about one being made of nylon and or fiberglass.
About rollerblade wheels.
In the comic book. In the regular book, the children's book, they argued about Spider-Man versus Batman. I'm betting they weren't legally allowed to use those words, so they had to argue about wheels, because no one owns the rights to wheels.
And they just had to make this extreme and cool.
It was 1990.
It's the World Wide Web and rollerblades.
Nylon. They degrade less,
I don't know.
There's a lot of people at this thing,
I guess this was a time when not everyone just had a computer.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Everybody had a gateway with a cow on it.
Yeah.
And then all of the computers stop working, and then, they get an email.
Like a broadcast email type situation?
Yeah, I don't know. It says that we have, it's got the word Andalite. In
spinning word art.
What was that called?
It looks like word art, but it's a 3D
I want to say clip art, but that ain't it. PowerPoint. It was one of those banner things, and you got to it's just spelling out the word Andalite, and then there are little.
It's word art.
CG.
It's what you're thinking
is
of,
it word
Sky.
Art?
Yes,
okay. I thought that was.
That's why I kept saying word art.
Okay. And there's a lot of CG rendered yerks.
Yeah.
Scrolling upwards?
They took their time to create little yerks to be in their email that they sent out.
It's impossible. Is Marco and Jake the only ones seeing this? Because nobody else is reacting at all?
I think everyone looks at it like stunned. I don't know if anyone else opens the email because that's clearly some sort of scam. You don't open a random
95.
Email. Yeah.
They didn't. Did you know don't open a random attachment?
You probably didn't. But at that point, you barely had to try to crash a whole computer.
Just have to put an alien disk in it.
Yeah. You should probably say the content of the email, not just the design.
But it states that we have the disk, we'll trade you one Andalite for one disk. And then Jake feels his pocket, and he lost the Elfin Gore's disc. This is the second time in 4 episodes where they've lost the damn disc.
You're right. The design of the email was more interesting than the actual contents.
Yeah.
They have the picture of the disc in the email. Like, and someone went into a crude Photoshop and, Photoshopped it into there.
It was MS Paint. They put in the whole thing. It's still in its weird Pizza Hutter thing.
Yeah, its base that it spins in constantly, I guess.
The Animorphs know that they need this disc. They just don't know what it's for still.
Oh, I'm going to be so mad when we find out what it is.
Probably.
I genuinely don't know.
I know one of the effects that it has. I don't remember what they use it for, though.
Don't ruin it, because I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, you will be. And then we cut to credits. Like, how did Jake not notice that this giant-ass thing was not in his pocket anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Dummy, you're not leader anymore.
You're out of here. And I know you're carrying it from place to place so Tom doesn't find it, but maybe don't. Maybe don't bring it into the Yerk pool. Like, you knew Tom was going down there, so there was no chance of him, like, looking under your mattress. Or maybe just keep it at Cassie's house because her brother isn't a controller.
Because she doesn't have one.
Exactly.
We get back from credits, and Marco and Jake are discussing this email while Homer watches and does nothing.
He's the best dog. He doesn't move.
It's true. He's just happy to be there. Like a good dog. And then Jake wants to send an email back. Marco says, that's dumb.
It is, because surely they could track directly where that email came from.
One would assume.
I mean, they have advanced technologies, right?
I mean, they haven't demonstrated that, really, but one can safely assume it.
Yeah.
Because they're aliens, and they came from space.
But also,
gotta get here somehow.
They had the tech to send this broadcast email out, so someone on their crew understands computers enough.
Yes, that is true. I don't know, Jake, they're undecided. And then we cut over to the school where Cassie and Rachel are.
At the same time? Question mark?
We don't, yeah, it's impossible to tell if this is concurrent or not, because shouldn't Jake and Marco be at school?
Yeah, also the poster behind Rachel says Friday is hot dog day.
You mean the best day of the week?
Yeah.
Melissa Chapman pops out of a room and starts talking to Rachel on the stairwell. Which must be a very inconvenient place to have a conversation.
Absolutely. Because they're just in everyone's fucking way while they're trying to get to class.
Yep. And she, Melissa, that is, invites them both to a meeting at the Sharing.
That's the bad guy club.
Yeah. Cassie says no, but Rachel says yes. And Rachel's the boss of Cassie, so they end up going.
Well, Rachel's the popular one.
Yeah, also she's the bossy one.
Rachel's the one who doesn't smell like cow poop, so she gets to call the shot.
And they mentioned that they haven't seen Tobias.
Yeah.
He's definitely a hawk now.
Or dead.
So we cut back over to the arcade.
Where the guys are still loudly saying Andalite repeatedly.
And Tom walks up, he's like, what are you dudes doing? And then they're like, oh, I better minimize this window real quick like your mom did back in 95 when you're trying to have a private AOL instant message chat.
You know, a lot of private instant message chats, Kai?
Yeah.
A lot of secrets.
And Tom says what we've been saying all along, and he's like, why did you bring the damn dog to the arcade?
Yeah, he takes the dog away.
Which is nice.
But Tom also was skipping school, question mark?
Guess is he looks too old to be in high school.
So does Marco. Marco's arms are so muscly. He's got very handsome arms.
And Jake sends an email reply that says, meet me in the mall in an hour. And Marco apparently didn't watch him do it, because he's like, what are you doing?
But all he says is, meet me in the mall.
Yeah.
This is a huge mall.
It'll be fine. Yeah, probably. I could look like anything and be anywhere, but you'll figure it out, I'm sure.
And then meanwhile, at the Sharing,
we have DJ Indifferent. He's just scratching.
The most apathetic DJ I've ever seen.
It looks like he's holding a phone with his ear. It's not like he's listening to anything. He's just holding the phone and just moving a disc. It looks pretty dull. Like,
yeah,
they're not selling it very hard.
It looks like a place you'd go like after school because your parents are still at work, and it has like some chairs and old magazines and like a ping pong table. And they're like, here, hang out here, be a latchkey kid here.
A lot of disaffected youths.
Yeah. Like, your parents will be off soon. You just have to spend 2 hours here. You get like a Rice Krispie treat for your snack, and that's it.
It's a teenage daycare. But there's a room off to the side that Rachel asks about, and Melissa says that's for the higher up people. We're not allowed in there. So Rachel does what she does best. She sneaks away and she decides to morph. And she, somewhere in between yesterday and today, acquired a fly morph that we don't actually see her morph into. She just,
I mean, that at least is sort of believable that she's just been out collecting morphs, which is what you would do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Unless you're Cassie, then you just don't ever morph.
Right. It's hard. And then Rachel morphs a fly and flies away.
And we get fly vision.
It's just shaky.
And sort of blue.
Yeah.
And upside down.
So we go back to the mall, and Marco's walking into a pet store, and Jake has morphed Lizard again.
It's a different lizard.
It is
though.
A different lizard because they did the thing that I thought wasn't real, and now he's an iguana.
But wait, what? What wasn't real?
I forget what the word they used, but the thing that wasn't an anole.
Oh, the skink?
Skink, that's it.
I thought you meant, like, none of this is real. No. Like,
well, none of it is real, but...
I thought you were having, like, an existential thing about animorphs.
No, that usually happens to me about 12 o'clock at night.
While you're alone.
Marco deposits the lizard into a random empty tank and walks away, and no one notices him leave a lizard there.
Yeah,
I feel
guess
like
I...
somebody should have been like, sir, you left a lizard here. No outside lizards, please.
Yeah. This is really in bad form.
We cut back over to the sharing. Rachel has infiltrated the room.
Which seems to just be like a kitchen or a...
I don't know.
A utility room or something.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of controllers and they're discussing how they closed the Yerk Pool entrance in the school. And they're going to make a new one soon. Hopefully no one will die before that happens. It's like, maybe you should have built the new one first.
Yeah.
And then closed the old one. Or maybe had more than one entrance to begin with. But, well, you know, you guys got it.
You don't have, when you have a tiny room, you don't have that many entrances options.
I guess. Meanwhile, back at the mall, Marco walks up to a random security guard and shakes his hand, saying that we need more mall cops. He goes on later to write Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Marco does? Yeah. Or the cop?
Both.
They team
it's
up.
Co-written. And Marco goes into a bathroom and checks all the stalls, and he is going to morph the security guard. Hopefully, he acquired the DNA of his clothes, too.
And his watch.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he did.
Apparently, that's how morphing works.
But apparently, morphing people hurts?
Or he's allergic to blackfellas.
Or doesn't... Sky.
What?
Heavens.
What? You can be allergic to a morph, and maybe he's just allergic to black people.
But I really don't understand why he can't just morph this guy.
It does not make any sense.
Like,
there's
no
explanation.
Because
you'd think that would be the easiest morph in the world, because it's like, a slight shift.
Your bones don't have to, like, completely rearrange.
Right. They just maybe have to get a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, he's even male, so there's not even, like, a dramatic shift in organs.
Right, yeah, his penis doesn't have to fall off.
Slurp up into him like spaghetti.
Yeah.
There's a muscly guy who walks into the pet store, and Jake sees him in predator vision, and the random guy starts asking random animals if it's an andalite.
He sure does. I don't know what to say about this.
He's not being very surreptitious at all. He's just standing in the store. He's just going, andalite, show yourself.
Holding the biggest duffel bag.
And the disc thingy is just exposed. They're not even trying.
It's just hanging out of a pocket.
So Jake's like, hey, Marco, we should do the thing that we were going to do.
Because apparently you can yell thought speech that far?
We don't know how far away that bathroom is.
I guess that's true.
Nothing makes sense. There's no sense of time or space or place in here.
This mall is, like, super ambiguous. I'm pretty sure the elevator later says floor 6, so...
Jesus Christ. But eventually, Jake starts talking to him, and then he sells out a parrot. He's like, I'm the parrot.
He talks to him with thought speak.
Yeah.
Because iguanas can't talk.
It's true, but parrots can.
Yeah.
So Jake tells controller to put the disc on the iguana tank. Don't think anything about that. And I'm the parrot.
Yeah.
The guy just does it. No questions asked.
I will say, surprisingly, this set like does look like a pet store. It must have been filmed in a real pet store because I feel like they wouldn't have gotten this that like
detailed.
Yeah, detailed and right.
There is a lot of tanks.
There are so many tanks. And like the right light bulbs and like the shelves look stocked.
Yeah.
There's actually animals.
Eventually a guy who works there comes up to the controller guy and he's like, "What are you doing?" Cuz he was starting to yell at the parrot. And the guy's like, "Well, I want to buy this parrot." The guy who works there says, "No, because that's the store mascot." And then Marco scoops up the lizard and leaves.
Not enough stores have mascots.
It's true. Toys R Us is going under. Or has gone under.
They're working on it.
They got a giraffe.
Yeah, but not in the store. You can't walk in there and like pet a like real life giraffe.
So Marco successfully escapes the pet store, but while he's walking out, the security guard who he talked to earlier noticed that there was a lizard tail dangling from his pocket and asks Marco to return the lizard. He says no. And then he goes to hand it over, and Jake bites the security guard, and then Marco runs away.
If you've forgotten Jake was the iguana, that's a funny sentence.
Yeah. So we get a bunch of scenes of Marco running away from a security guard until he rounds a corner and morphed in front of, like, 6 people.
Yeah, I guess. Like, Jake demorphed, Marco morphed in front of what looks to be a pager store.
and no one noticed, Marco goes rat and went into Jake's pocket. Luckily, they can morph their clothes, otherwise that would have been super awkward and very obvious.
Yeah.
Because if you just see a pile of random clothes, I was like, well, maybe he got raptured.
He's nude somewhere. Also, he talks about the sunflower seeds in Jake's pocket, which means you can morph the things that are in your pocket.
Yep.
In and out of animal.
I guess so. But a van rolls up, and there's some controllers in there, and they're like, we can track that disc thing. Let's wait till they gather up, and we'll do that.
I mean, when the man came with the disc, I was like, well, someone's going to be watching where he leaves that disc, I'm sure.
Right.
But since it's a tracker, this makes more sense.
Right. Also, Jake could morph sunflower seeds, but Marco ditched the disc.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I guess they don't know. It's like their third day, and they may not know all of the capacities.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And the writers are making this up as they go.
But they read the first book. They got the gist of it.
They understand that they morph animals.
Someone explained it to them.
But Marco dropped it next to some trash, and wouldn't you know it, it got thrown away.
Yeah, don't leave things next to a trash can and expect them not to be thrown away.
I would have probably ran into a music store or something, because that's where discs lived.
Yeah, I guess.
So, but the janitor is just tossing bags. He's got one left.
It's a custodian's guy.
And he... Marco is like, hey, did you see a thing? And he's like, dude, I didn't look. I just threw it away. He proceeds to say, yeah, I've thrown them all. And then he throws the last bag in there. I know you're looking for a thing, but fuck you, kids.
As someone who deals in trash.
And then he goes about his day.
That is the fakest looking trash ever. It's so much shredded paper. Yeah. Like, this is a mall.
There should be diapers and food.
Yeah. It should mostly be food. It's a goddamn corridor of a mall where everyone walks. Like, no one is shredding paper and then dumping it in the mall trash can right in the middle.
Yeah, and there should be, like, boxes and packing materials.
Well, ideally, those go into a recycling thing.
This is 95.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Captain Planet was probably out, but it didn't take its effect yet.
What is that? They've got that big thing that squishes them all down. They might have one of those.
Compactor?
Yeah. But it has a name, I don't know. So Jake gets hungry and he wanders off.
Yeah, Marco hops into the dumpster.
Yeah.
Jake decides that he's not going to help. And then, because this has turned into a farce, the garbage pickup is apparently right now.
No, this is absolutely a thing that would happen to the Animorphs in the book. The worst thing always happens to them.
True.
Always. But they're usually morphed into something because that's what they do. Yeah. They're not just always people getting shit on.
Yeah, normally when it's the worst thing, it's like 30 or 40 Horcruxes that cut the hell out of them, and they have to hold their organs in as they still fight.
Yeah.
Or this is just him getting dumped into a dumpster.
Or they get smashed on a plane or something.
There's that also.
Or their lobster's about to be cooked.
It's a lot more life and death is what we're getting at.
Yeah, not just riding in a garbage truck.
Marco gets dumped into the trash part of the dump truck. Or not dump truck, of the garbage truck. And then the compactor starts going. And it looks like Marco's going to die. And then it cuts away. And then we never see what happens. But he's fine later.
Okay, we don't see anything. Because I was like, I don't remember there being like a narrow escape or anything.
Nope. Jake comes out holding Marco's coat and some food. Or at least a drink. It's sloshing around like a drink.
Yeah. You got a boba tea.
And he pounds on the thing. He's like, hey, Marco, how's it going? Marco? And then he notices the garbage truck pulling away. He looks in the trash thing, and nothing's in there, and he puts the pieces together, and then morphs into a dog. Maybe he throws on Marco's coat, because Marco has it later. He doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same thing, like, how's that coat get back to us later?
But he morphs into a dog and chases the truck. And that's the end of what happens to them. Next time we see them, everything will be resolved. We cut back to the sharing, where Cassie's admiring a model ship, and Tom comes over to bother her and Melissa, and he does a pitch about, you know, bringing Jake into the sharing or whatever, and Rachel made it. Apparently, when we saw a controller smash a fly, that was not Rachel. It was some other fly.
Oh, that makes sense.
They make an excuse, and Tom gives them... Every look that Tom has is just unsettling. He's got a creepy smile. There's just something about him. He's got, like, the American Psycho eyes. There's something off about him. But Cassie and Rachel leave arm in arm, which is kind of cute. We cut back to the controllers in the van. They've got a projection of Visser 3, who's, again, only from the head up. And he's just yelling. Easier to puppet. Yeah. Just got to move the antenna around a bit.
He just, like, declares, like, they must be together now.
Yeah.
For no... Like, that thing doesn't tell you that. It just tells you where it's at.
Well, it's been long enough, I guess.
I guess. Andalites have to hang out every 3 hours or they die.
Meanwhile, back at the arcade, the Andalites' natural habitat, Jake and Marco are just there. How did Marco not get squished? Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Shut up. Even though Marco is filthy, they can't pinpoint where the smell is coming from, and Cassie's like, oh, you smell bad.
But he did get the disc back.
Yay. Rachel takes it, and she notices that the weight of the disc is different.
Which, I mean, good for her.
Yeah, that's incredibly attentive for her, because she probably only held it once because they kept losing the fucking thing.
Nah, they tossed it around a little before they put it in the computer.
Yeah, but she would have had to have held it, like, once.
There's no way that would have even gone in a computer, because there's no... I mean, it would have gone in there. It just wouldn't have spun because there's no hole to grab onto.
But the controllers are in the mall. They've got this weird triangular dowsing rod thing. It's like a tablet, but it's triangular.
And they're like foam menacingly walking around like they're hunting them.
But they chose the most ridiculous looking adults to play these roles. And
they're not threatening.
There's a scene where they come up an escalator and I just laughed. They look ridiculous.
Just something about that lady's dragon shirt is her 1998 dragon shirt.
Yeah, and that man's feathered hair.
Yeah. And that other man's tucked in button-up shirt.
Yeah, and their flashlight Dracon beams. But they just kick in a door to the arcade, and, like, there should have been other kids there, right?
Yeah, I mean, and Marco's coat's there still.
I mean, it was skip day, apparently.
Yeah, for some of them.
Should have been more kids there. So they're walking around still holding the disc. They're not trying to hide it at all. And then Marco, there's that shot. Marco and Jake have an idea to hide it, or at least lose them. And they take a cardboard cutout of a monster of some sort, and then they put the disc in its mouth, and they put it in the elevator. End of plan.
Also, like, couldn't you just leave it somewhere and
yeah,
walk
you
away?
Yeah, you could have just put it on the top of the elevator, and then they wouldn't be able to find it.
Or just set it down and walk away.
Yeah, that would work too.
Oh, also that what I thought was the 6 might have been a G for ground floor.
Oh.
On the elevator.
That tracks.
So.
The controllers have been thwarted, and the children are safely at the mall.
Yep. You can't beat a teenager in the mall. That's like their natural habitat or whatever.
They won the day, I guess, except they lost the disc.
But they didn't get
they
murdered.
They didn't do anything.
They
That's true. And nothing horrible
murdered.
Happened to them. They didn't even get dismembered. And not even...
I mean,
most
one
of
their
them
friends,
didn't even have to morph.
One of their friends is possibly dead, but...
Yeah, but they don't seem to care that much.
Yeah, well, I mean, they barely
he was
liked
new,
him,
so.
Yeah. They don't even know his last name. He can't tell them for some reason.
Their walk home, they walk past a baseball diamond that has nothing to do with the story, and...
But, like, an abandoned baseball diamond? Because all the gloves and bats and balls are still there, but there are no children?
Maybe they're taking a water break, and the coach is like, I don't want you kids hitting each other with ball bats, so drop all your stuff.
Set your stuff down, we're gonna get an ice cream real quick, and we'll come back.
And then we get, like, the closing shot is there's a hawk watching them as they walk away, and then the end.
But, like... Is it Tobias? Is it a regular hawk? We'll never know.
Is it that hawk from the last episode that was an unrelated
that
hawk?
That was just a regular hawk. I don't know. They live in hawk country.
It's a regular hawk jamboree around here.
Yeah. Freaking hawk jamboree.
Oh, boy. So.
That's episode 4.
Yep. Nothing happened. That's fine. Jake.
Huh? What?
What was the most turtle-rific part?
Sheesh.
Oh, for anybody new,
Turtle-rific
is a thing.
Explained that.
Yeah, but we're in a new season. Turtle-rific is a thing that carried over from our first season. It means what it sounds like it would mean.
It means something's turtle-rific. Sky, I don't understand what is hard to understand about turtle-rificness. Geez, what is the most turtle-rific part? Nothing about this was particularly turtle-rific. I'm going to go with that pet store. I really liked that the pet store looked like a pet store. Do malls have pet stores? I don't know. Ours never did, but...
Ours was a pretty shitty mall.
No, ours was a good mall when it was built. It really took a turn there, like, 3 years in.
Now it's just clothing stores.
It's not even that. It's... Anyway, we're not going to get into the politics of our mall, because...
Rent's too high.
We don't have time. What did you say was the most turtle-rific part of this program?
I enjoyed that Cassie likes models. She really enjoyed that model ship.
She did. Instead of morphing and helping her friends, she just looked at a model ship. Indeed. A greedy bitch.
I don't know. That one's good, I guess. Cassie really likes models.
I guess. Whatever. I don't know.
I don't remember. I had a couple, and I can't remember what they are now.
Your favorite was Tobias, question mark, because was he Tobias?
No. Who would you say is the most likable character?
Well, those three controllers coming up the escalator.
I rather enjoyed the pet store owner.
That sassy pet store owner was good.
You can't buy the parrot.
Yeah.
Even though that's probably a good sale. Parrots are expensive.
Yeah, that thing was probably a couple $100.
But he was just doing his job, and he was a decent actor.
Yeah.
Those four lines he had.
I bought him as a sassy pet store clerk.
Yeah, who's just had enough. Many teens.
He was very well dressed for some reason.
So, Jacob.
Oh, yes.
What is your pop culture palate cleanser?
Oh,
your PCPC.
This is instead of existential crises in the middle of the night, you're just laying awake trying to think of things to say for this, aren't you?
Kind of.
They're kind of one and the same. This podcast and your existential crises.
Crises.
What have I been up to this week?
You saw a movie.
Oh, I did see. I saw A Wrinkle in Time. It was okay. That's about all you can say. It wasn't bad, but, you know, I saw it, and that's probably the last time I'll ever see it. I was telling Sky about Star Wars Forces of Destiny, which he had never seen. They're just a bunch of short Star Wars cartoons on the internet. They're all on YouTube. Season 2 came out at the beginning of this week or the end of last week or something. But those are pretty good. You know, if you want to watch some fun little this thing happened in between this, you get to find out where Leia gets her Bausch costume and stuff like that. And then there was one more thing. Oh, I started watching Good Girls. Sky, you should watch Good Girls. You'll like it. It's got Mae Whitman and Retta and the lady from Mad Men and Rickety Cricket and a really...
Christina Hendricks?
Yes.
Okay. I have seen stuff for that. I just couldn't remember the name of the show.
And it's got Matthew Lillard, and he looks so old.
Who's Matthew Lillard?
He's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
The live-action one?
Yeah. Okay. He's also one of the killers in Scream, the first one. Spoiler alert for that movie from 1995, if you haven't seen it. It might be from 1997. I don't know. Anyway, that show was extremely good, and I watched the four episodes because I didn't realize it had started. But it's very formulaic, but in the way that, like, sucks you in, and at the end of each episode you go, but no! Oh, no! So then now I have to wait for the rest of it. But you should watch it. You'll like it. You like sassy women.
That's true.
Mae Whitman is very sassy in it.
She is. She played Katara and April O'Neil.
I don't know what you're saying, but...
maybe.
I don't know what April O'Neil is, Sky.
Liar. I'll kill you.
She's also a Scott Pilgrims.
It's true. She got punched in the boob. She didn't like it.
That's true. She's also the Duff.
That's the designated fat friend?
The designated ugly fat friend.
Oh, I forgot.
Which is hard to buy.
Yeah, she's a very pretty young lady. I suppose she's our age.
I think she's younger than us. I mean, not like by a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just edit that confusion out.
Nah.
Sky, what is your pap catch or plow cleanser?
I can't say it. I went and saw Pacific Rim Uprising.
Was it as good as you hoped?
No. But it did have John Boyega in it.
And Charlie Day.
It was a lot better than I expected, but it goes in the pile of movies that didn't really need a sequel, like The Hangover and Pitch Perfect.
I'm sorry, The Hangover 2 is a masterpiece, and so is Pitch Perfect 3.
You didn't see 3.
I didn't see 3 of anything. I've never seen all of any Pitch Perfect, let alone the third one.
Pitch Perfect's great, but the sequel was basically the same movie.
I certainly haven't seen that.
But it was fine. Like, I didn't expect the villain to be who it was.
Was it John Boyega?
No.
Was it Idris Elba?
No, he's also dead.
I can't remember anyone else who was in that movie.
But there is a scene where the kaiju become one big, massive kaiju, which is pretty cool. I also watched Game Over, or Game Over Bro, or It's Game Over. I don't know. The guys from Workaholics did a movie.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Game Over. I didn't see it, but I saw that it existed.
Yeah, and it was pretty good. It's you know when Pineapple Express came out and they're like, it's a drug-fueled action comedy? It's similar to that, but you get to see Adam Devine's dick a lot more than you'd think.
I mean, you get to.
Well, I got to. It's already happened. Also, my 3D printer was fixed, so I can 3D print stuff. So I've been looking into new stuff for me to 3D print.
Ooh. I don't have a 3D printer, but I was also looking at things for Sky to 3D print. So
yeah, I had it. I bought it for me for Christmas, and then it broke in February.
Nothing is better
everything
than
everything in my life came crashing down.
Nothing is better than the Christmas present you bought yourself.
Yeah, I know exactly what I want.
And you're always out shopping for other people, so you see all the things.
Yeah, and now I can just make stuff for me. Actually, I need to learn 3D modeling, but you know, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But I think that's it.
The Poe Dameron comic, the next one that comes out, is they started before The Force Awakens, and they've reached the point in the story where it's The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
So they're just going to tell the whole movie from Poe Dameron's point of view, which is pretty cool. I like that idea. I mean, you can't... And then, like, the next day is The Last Jedi, and we pretty much see all of that from Poe's point of view, so I'm not sure how that will go. But, you know, whatever. It'll be fun. It comes out on Tuesday. It's the same day that the Roseanne reboot revival.
What a rich day for you.
I'm super stoked. Something else happens that day, but I can't remember what.
Colonoscopy.
Wait. I don't have to work on Tuesday night. I can watch it when it happens. Roseanne, not the colonoscopy.
You can do both. Just talk to your doctor.
Who knows? It might be terrible. It might be like watching a colonoscopy.
Well, the Sex and the City, again, cast. I was going to say reboot.
What are
but
you talking about?
They brought, not Sex and the City, the Will and Grace, they brought back.
Oh.
And I bet it's the exact same.
I mean, that was shrill then, and it's shrill now.
It's the fucking worst. We've been rambling on it for a while. It's kind of a short episode.
Sky,
it's going to whittle down real fast.
Sky, who cares? People, this is what they want. They want to get to our hearts. Sky. They want to let us into their homes, into their lives, each and every week.
Is that right?
They want a little bit of Animorphs, and they want a little bit of Jake, and they want a little bit of Sky. Sometimes they want dog sounds. I give them plenty.
I hope that his snoring is getting picked up.
I hope so, too. I took his collar off so he wouldn't make sounds, and he went right to sleep.
I knew that he couldn't go into the kitchen and stomp around.
I got him real wound up earlier and tuckered him out. That's the problem.
But I think that'll do it for us this week.
So we just put her out. Next week is episode 5. It's called Between Friends. We did it. We're done. It's over.
You can follow the show.
Oh, yeah. Do all that. It's not over. Fuck me.
Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end. You can email the show at popculturefailure@gmail.com. You can follow me at Sandwich Surplus.
I'm at Midwest Love Affair.
Follow the dog at otis.dog.otis
on Instagram. Thanks. The dog already has more followers than I do.
Well, dogs are cuter. But yeah, that'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I like that you started promoting the dog's Instagram.
Why wouldn't I?